Normally, I would not be playing a college football fight song, but I think tonight is far more than appropriate for it.
Because
we are starting off tonight's show on a very sad note. We'll get to that in a second. This is Calf Crusher Radio. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. You can follow show at Calf Crusher Pod on Twitter and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Calf Crusher Pod. The number to call if you're watching us live on Facebook is 908-854-4228. If you're listening or watching video clips on Facebook, YouTube, etc., if you're listening to the audio podcast, we are live. We tape a show live every Wednesday night at around 10 o'clock Eastern. That's how you can reach us. Please like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And that was a great delivery for having to go to something incredibly sad because...
Yeah. Oh, my God. And yes, we are. Things are going to lighten up. We are going to talk about that internet elephant in the room later. But first, the top thing we have to talk about.
This broke just before the show started, Mike.
Like literally hours before. Like the story itself. Like well before. Like yesterday, I believe. But the latest update. So for those who don't know, Jim Ross's wife Jan was struck from behind on her Vespa after a workout. I believe it was Monday.
Yeah, she wasn't wearing a helmet. She was struck by a young teenage driver, and she was riding her Vespa without a helmet. She fell, and her skull fractured in multiple places, and her brain swelled up pretty badly, and she was on life support. And
now
the news just broke that his wife just passed away. So our best thoughts and wishes are with Jim Ross. I hope he pulls through this. Mental anguish on him and his family. I mean, I can't even possibly imagine Ross family's going through right now.
And I mean, listen, for those of you who are like, well, if she had worn a helmet, just can you give her a second to let the body be cold before you turning this into a helmet PSA?
You can Monday morning quarterback anything you want, man, but the man lost his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how to comment on this other than our thoughts are with Jim Ross, her surviving family, and best wishes, man. That's the only thing that we can say. And again, to repeat, Jim Ross's wife Jan passes away due to injuries sustained in a car accident. She was riding her Vespa scooter without a helmet, and due to being struck from behind by a young teen male driver, her skull fractured in numerous places and her brain swelled and the injuries were just too much to overcome. So, I can't really say anything else except I have grandparents that died. I've had aunts and uncles that died. I'm sure, Mike,
but
you've had
like that though, like
family members who died, but to be taken so sudden, so abrupt, and without warning. I mean, he was taping his podcast when the accident happened. He wasn't even with her.
Yeah, like he had no clue after he was finished taping the Ross report.
So yeah, our thoughts and best wishes go to Jim Ross and his family. I'm not sure how we can switch from this to anything else, but if Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross can get through over the edge when Owen Hart fell and eventually died due to injury, it shouldn't be hard for two fat men in New Jersey to do a dopey wrestling podcast. So with that, we are going to get to something that has just been the talk of the wrestling town over the past week, which is...
No, not that thing yet. Or is it that thing?
It is that thing.
Oh.
Let's get right into it, because I have been wanting to talk about this for a while.
Chomping at the bit?
I'm chomping at other things, too. So, to basically try to set up in a very mature fashion, you could say at this point, former WWE women's performer slash diva Paige, among many others.
I mean, I've heard, honestly, WWE is producing a movie about her life. I don't think she's going to be gone anytime soon. But we're going to definitely see her a lot later than we would have when she's healthy, because they might want some time for that to blow over.
I hope.
But yeah, so there, Paige and multiple others.
Paige and multiple others have suffered a cyber attack.
And by the way, not like this is part of like another massive hack of the cloud.
It's always a cloud.
Yeah. Always.
It's always an iPhone. It's always a cloud. It's always... Stop syncing up to iCloud. This should be the moral of the story of this whole thing. We're going to see the moral of the story before we tell the story, but... what happened was Paige and many other former, current, and former WWE divas slash women's performers were the victims of a cyber attack. A hacker got a hold of their... personal private photos and videos via their clouds, and they are leaked all over the internet. Now, we are not going to link them to you because, first off, our channel would get suspended. And that's really, honestly, the only reason why I'm not linking them to you guys. But you can easily find them. You can very easily find these online, even if you're not as good of a Googler as you think you are. You can find them. But where other people are starting to say, you know, I've never seen these. I wouldn't ever look at these. And I wouldn't dare. You know what? Shame on you if you looked at them and got any form of pleasure. These guys are lying assholes. There's no other way to say this, Mike. There's no other way to say you're phony. I mean, we say to ourselves, the tagline for the show is Pro Wrestling Talk Without the PG Filter. We're going to live up to that tagline right now, because there are a lot of people out there, both wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans, who are saying that... what's the word I'm looking for here, Mike? There are a lot of people out there that are... giving into the whole, you know, oh, this was unannounced. Like, oh, we feel so bad. Shame on you for looking. Well, and we're saying that is a load of crap. You absolutely saw the photos. And you're lying if you said you weren't even remotely curious as to what these, let's be honest here, gorgeous women look like.
Like, honestly, anybody, like, no matter what your thoughts are, if you're a wrestling fan, you at least took a look. And even if it was just for the sake of, all right, this is hugely talked about, or even if it's just something that happened to come up on posts on Twitter and you saw it.
Yeah, if you have a Twitter account and you're a wrestling fan and you haven't seen people talking about this, you're lying.
You like it,
you're a liar, liar, pants on fire.
It's like, it's too big of a story. Like, even the curiosity, like, when the stuff about the Paige videos got out and what was happening, like, you almost had to take a look to see, like, did the stuff really happen involving the NXT Women's title? Yes, it did.
And was it as filthy as everyone says they were? They absolutely were.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are, everyone has seen the photos, except the only people who haven't seen them are probably straight women who aren't even slightly bi-curious. Those are probably the only people that have not seen these photos. Everyone else, you were curious. Especially straight guys. Straight guys absolutely took a look at these photos. Because let's be completely honest here, Mike. These are beautiful women that a lot of men look at and think of other things besides their wrestling ability. Yeah, I mean, yes, we give them credit for being great in the ring. We love watching them perform, but I mean, when I read the headline and the reports are saying, "Oh, Paige hacked photos, nude photos leaked," I'm like, okay, I am so ignoring everything else and Googling this. I had to look.
Yep.
Because I admittedly so took a turn and fell down the perverted rabbit hole that I go down, and I need to see everything. I want to see everything because I wanted to see what these photos and videos were. They were hyped up big. It's no secret that I found Paige attractive. So, yeah, I looked.
And then I mentioned, and I remember mentioning to Hammy everyone after Paige who got leaked.
And I was like, oh my God, jackpot. This is the wrestling fappening that happened.
He was like, yeah.
Look, okay. I know I'm not painting myself. I'm not painting myself to be the ideal gentleman here for a second. Because I'm admitting that I very curiously and very admittedly looked at sexually clad photos of various WWE women's performers.
I'm pretty sure that when I told him that one of the leaks was Maria Kanellis, he not only put Maria in all caps, and then did the alternating question mark, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. Yes, I'm pulling a Jericho for Monday.
Yes, I totally did say that. I totally did say that.
So there's like, so, all right. I mean, we're going to obviously get into this a little in depth, but there's a rumor going out there, and I'm going to read this verbatim. What I found is that the guy who leaked all the Paige stuff has a lot of real leaks from Summer, Maurice, Victoria, and others.
Release them already!
A lot of them are. The word is that one is lesbian. And for Maurice, it's a video. And the next leak, and one of the next leaks is a Biggie threesome, and this guy has something around 50 videos from WWE stars.
Good Lord Almighty. It is the pro wrestling fappening.
Yeah, like this is not gonna be over anytime soon.
Look, I know a lot of people are saying, okay, let's try to not talk about it. Let's try to be a little mature here. I am so not being mature about this. I have no problem in admitting that I looked at every single one of these that were leaked. Enjoyed what I saw. And here's the thing. As straight guys, okay, if we have the chance to look at women that we are attracted to naked, we will absolutely take a chance to look at it. Even if we're dating, even if we're married. Speaking from experience, as a former married guy, no. There's a lot of pornography that I looked at.
Well, to be fair...
To be fair, that's we could go down that road.
To be fair, time, when it comes to the marriage you were in, though, it was one that you really, for the most part, were not happy in. And
look, details, whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, when the Kim Kardashian sex tape was leaked, and I first heard about it, I'm like, I almost remember saying all caps ZOMG.
Yeah, and even if you don't find Kim Kardashian that attractive,
you still want to look.
You still were like, I've got to see this at least once.
I saw for two reasons. One, obviously for Kim Kardashian, and two, because everyone was talking about how gigantic the member Ray J had. And women for obvious reasons love to look at a guy that has a impressive unit down there. But guys weirdly want to find out too, because we like to measure how we stack up against other guys. It's a very stupid thing that all of us guys do, but we do it. And you're lying if you're a guy and you say you don't. I know you do. But I looked at the Kim Kardashian sex tape. I looked at all these celebrity sex tapes. And the Kim Kardashian sex tape was the James Ellsworth of sex tapes, of just how awful she is in bed. I can't say the same about Paige. I can't say the same about how far down the perverted rabbit hole that I went. Because there are things that she does in these videos that, let's just say, she put together a fantastic demo reel to star in Vivid Entertainment videos when her wrestling career is inevitably going to end.
If there was a porn lookalike for Paige, I would have thought it was the Vivid video and not actually Paige.
Yes.
Having a threesome with Brad filthy, Maddox and Woods.
That is how filthy these videos are. There is one video. And by the way, Brad Maddox, you know what? You can make fun of him in the ring all he wants, but he goes home at night and he's got the diamond cutter in his pants. Let's just say that.
You know what, though? He's still a dummy because that the reason the shit
he'll still
came,
be a jobber wherever he goes. Yeah, but my God, he goes to bed happy at night. Let's just say that.
The reason this shit came out was because his password protection strength on his iCloud wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't at all. And you know what?
Like that, and that's when people were like, it was his phone that everything they found everything on,
which means he saved everything long after they broke up.
Yeah, so.
He wasn't smart and just deleted everything or put it on a local drive. If he wanted to save it and be an asshole, he should have saved it on local computers so no one can hack it.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just stopped that he wasn't smart.
Fair enough, he wasn't smart. But look, the other female wrestlers that had private photos leaked so far, I feel bad.
Okay.
Because they look like that they were private photos that they sent to boyfriends or dates or whatever. Paige, on the other hand, voluntarily had herself filmed in multiple occasions. And you know what? In this day and age, where every other week you hear about a celebrity whose nude photos and private videos are being leaked on the internet, stop filming yourself! And stop doing it with iPhones! Because it seems like all these leaks come from iPhones. Get a Google Pixel or something.
Yeah, but
get something with two touch notifications or something. Two touch security, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, but then they're not going to have as good a video quality.
Oh my God, man.
But like, all right.
Bottom line, I feel bad. I'm not going to lie and say that I don't feel bad for these people. Because deep down I do.
So,
but as a guy who is sexually attracted to women, how can I not look at this?
So here's,
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad about all this. I do not feel bad. You voluntarily take photos of yourself and you stupidly link your phones to cloud servers that are notoriously hacked very easily.
That's just
literally holding up a sign that says, free peep show, that you might as well do that, because that's all that you end up doing is when you take a photo of yourself and you have your phone linked to the cloud.
So I do have to say as well, like, all right, so for those who are wondering the names of who was leaked so far, there was Maria Kanellis, like we mentioned earlier. I'm pretty sure that's one where like everybody already knows what's there, because I'm pretty sure she was in Playboy. So, I mean, you already know what's going on there. There was Melina, which I'm not shocked given her reputation. I'm pretty sure there were pics that have been sent out there in the past to wrestlers, because she's been known to be passed around the locker room. So just by sheer numbers of hookups, I'm sure there were pictures out there that were going to be eventually leaked, be it by someone who was New Jack level petty, or just by someone having a Maddox situation where their phone's hacked and someone's like, oh shit, look, this person's got pictures of Melina, like nude selfies. Summer Rae, which she actually, I think, has the least out there in this. Like, most of it was just selfies in clothing and then one like nude selfie where you can't even see her face. So I think she got off the lightest with it. Caitlyn, I mean, honestly, like, definitely selfies that were probably meant for her now ex-husband.
Probably.
It
doesn't matter.
It truly
doesn't matter.
Yeah. And Victoria, by the way, Victoria, who had, like, her one was, I'm guessing these were from her husband's phone, because one of the pictures is a picture he took of her going down on him. So, like, that wasn't her phone being hacked. That was her husband's phone being hacked.
I mean,
so like, it's weird. They're not like, and like the Paige situation, like, how does someone like Paige, you kind of do feel bad, because it's gotten out that those were from Maddox's phone.
I mean, the asshole in this is absolutely Maddox for saving them.
Yeah. So like, she might.
I mean, what was he going to do with it? She was engaged now twice, and Maddox is like three boyfriends ago.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, with the whole Paige thing.
But then you look at one video, and he's copping down with another camera while she's getting fucked by Xavier Woods on a couch. I mean, I feel bad that that this private stuff with, that was obviously never to see the light of day is now wide open.
The light of day.
But at the same time, two things as a man here, not even as a commentator on pro wrestling, not as a commentator on anything, just as a man. Paige has nothing to worry to be embarrassed about.
I do feel though why like this might have affected Paige. Because
they're making a movie about her.
Well, that too, but also, like, she's had two wellness suspensions in a row.
Yeah, it is not a good time to be Paige.
There was the whole weirdness with Del Rio at one point. Like, the incident outside of a pay-per-view.
Right.
His leaving, leading to speculation that she might be leaving, which wasn't true, ended up not being true. Now there's a movie being made about her life. Which might have, for her, been the, all right, this is something going in the right direction, like everything's going to be okay, and then this came out. It's been a bad 12 months for Paige.
It has not been good. And look, the final thing I'm going to say about this, and then I'm done talking about it.
Actually, before you say your final thing, the one thing we forgot to mention was Xavier Woods referencing it. On Monday.
Oh yeah, Xavier Woods referenced it on Monday Night Raw subtly, but
no, it wasn't. It was not subtle, because
if people didn't know what was going on.
New Day started with saying, "Hey Woods, is there something you want to talk about?"
That is true,
and then his reference was the subtle one, where towards the end of the segment they were doing, we'll just play it here, but towards the end of the segment that they're doing. He does the pose Maddox was doing when he was filming Paige and Woods going at it.
Tell us about WrestleMania. We're so excited to be the host.
And then here, so that was the mask. Now here's him doing the pose that Maddox did. I mean, obviously we can't show the actual Maddox pose because we don't want to be banned from the video from YouTube and other places.
And I'm sure people are watching this now and are like, these guys are pigs. You're absolutely right. I'm fully owning my pig status.
I'm not
here.
A pig. We're just talking about something that's a big story.
Oh,
suck it.
I'm totally admitting to be a pig here. Look, we can't just say don't take nude photos and nude videos of yourselves because
that's essentially the leak.
I mean, if you look at my phone, you will see horrendous shit of myself on my phone. And I'm sure if someone hacked my phone and got a load of it, of what I have on my phone, you would feel sorry for me if you saw what my nude photos looked like. I look like a much fatter, whiter Rikishi naked. Like I'm really bad. I look horrible naked. And you wouldn't be impressed with anything that you saw if you hacked my phone. But I know that everyone has private info on their phone. Everyone has private photos and videos. Yeah. It's just everyday Joe's like you and me. Everyday people. We can take nude photos and have it risk of getting leaked and not face too bad of a consequence. But in this day and age with everything being watched, everything being recorded, everything being filmed, everything being photographed. If you're a celebrity or even a semi-famous celebrity and you're taking explicit photos of yourself and you don't secure the data properly, you're almost asking to be hacked. You're almost asking to have your cyber privacy invaded.
The problem is, though, with a lot, like I said, and like we mentioned with Paige, and like we mentioned,
I'm not saying that it's good that the photos were leaked. I'm not saying that it's good. I'm simply saying that as a straight guy who is attracted to women, I am not complaining about what I saw, but I also feel bad that these women are probably very embarrassed
to point out though is like, in some cases they might be protecting it, but the person who also received pictures might not be so good at protecting it.
That is true.
And they won't know whether that person's good at protecting that kind of stuff because Like,
KP
do you know?
Burke on the Facebook chat, by the way, says, I have Falcon sex tapes. Something you want to tell me? I mean, I definitely don't want to see that, but...
By the way...
Is there something you want to tell me?
I'll wait for KP to leak it. But, like, say that being said, I you know, I'm not going to lie and say that I wasn't, like, enthused by the fact that, like, one of the picture sets was Caitlyn, someone who I've always kind of, like, felt was
underrated. No, we can't lie about it and be like, oh, that's just bad. I can't look at that.
Like, maybe more so than Paige because, I don't know, like, when she was around, like when she was actively wrestling.
And I think,
like,
we both realize that it's going to be very awkward to talk about women's wrestling after this without that we are just sexually frustrated pigs,
like,
over here.
I mean, but like it's weird.
Not sexually frustrated. That's the wrong word.
I'm going to say. But like, it's weird thinking about it though, because there's that curiosity and then you're like, fuck, this is stuff that was stolen from someone else's cloud.
Yes, it's a double-edged sword.
It's a weird thing.
On one hand, I feel really terrible that I'm looking at this, but I'm loving looking at this. It's like
there's that curiosity when you hear the names that are leaking, like, all right, like, what leaked? Like, even if you're not going into, like, horny teenager mode, there's, fuck, what's to talk about?
And again, I just want to let's come full circle here. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of other wrestling podcasts that claim to be heels that are saying, oh, we feel so bad for these victims. You don't want to, you know, don't look at them, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to talk about it because we're decent people. You are so full of, like, shit. You absolutely looked at it. And some of you probably pleasured yourselves to them.
Like, I'm going to be honest. One thing I do want to honestly, I'm glad WWE is not punishing anyone.
Yeah, bottom line, I'm glad that WWE is not punishing them either.
Like, I mean, there were people who were kind of afraid that Paige might be fired or be punished because of the use of the NXT title, women's title, in one of the videos.
God, that was great.
But, I mean, like, they can't. Fortunately for Paige and Xavier Woods.
Fortunately, they're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah, because fortunately, WWE wants to bring Hulk Hogan back, and if they fire them and then bring back Hogan...
And they also kept Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because we can't remember. Well, okay. Seth Rollins' member got leaked all over the internet, but by a scorned ex-girlfriend, I think, or fiance.
Yes. But the thing with the Rollins thing and the argument people had against using that as the evident comparison is Rollins wasn't taking his dick pic with the Money in the Bank briefcase under it.
It's true.
Like, that's the reason why what was going to happen to Paige or Mina Woods, or that's why that was even discussed, was because of the use of that title. Because that's WWE branding being used as a sex prop and a sex tape of one of the champions of the
God,
time.
But man, like, is it so...
I think the punishment for Paige, she'll probably not see a title reign in a long time.
I didn't think Alberto Del Rio could be more of a heel than he is now, but with these leaks, I'm like, fucking Alberto Del Rio, man. Jesus Christ. Jackpot, buddy. Fucking jackpot.
Del Rio, we'll probably hear about Del Rio slapping Brad Maddox at some point. That's his favorite thing to do.
That would have been a better heel. It's like, you want to see what you... Oh, that's nothing compared to what she does now with me. That would be even more dookie.
Oh, God. Could you imagine...
Douchey way to say it.
Like, all right. Let's be honest. If this were, like, Attitude Era WWE...
Oh, my God. This would be front page everywhere.
It would be a main storyline. Del Rio would be, like, the Rated R Superstar Era Edge, and they'd be, bringing Paige out.
Yeah, let's not forget, we're talking about a company that allowed Edge and Lita to have a live sex celebration.
Yeah.
And
so, like,
when Edge got ambushed, you saw him fully erect.
Yeah. So, like,
camera.
And you can literally, like, if there's their Attitude Era writing, you could picture Del Rio being like, oh, yeah, pero, look what I get, look what she does for me now. And then he would slap Brad Maddox and put him in the arm breaker.
Of course.
In the cross, like, the arm bar. It's a fucking arm bar. But, like, that, like, that's what they would have done back then.
And then Maxky responded, "I'll put you in my third arm bar, because that's what he's got down there, folks."
And somehow Maddox would still fuck up that line.
Yeah, he would, like I just did.
He was essentially useless in every facet of wrestling.
Okay, Mike, I'm looking at the show clock here. We've talked about this for quite some time now. Let's transition to something else. all right,
By the way, let's point out, guys, Hammy does have a limit when it comes to naked pictures of someone being leaked out. Old Hammy, new Hammy.
Old Hammy would have spent the whole show talking about it.
Yeah.
New Hammy, I need to... Look, if we're going to try to be any sort of successful with this podcast here, Mike, we need to actually be adults here instead of glossing over the fact that...
Well, I mean, that's...
That beautiful women that we like... nude photos of them around the internet. But anyhow, that's here, near, or there.
By the way, the best, before we move on, the best meme from the whole week thing was, you know, that like good Kermit, evil Kermit thing?
Yeah.
The one of that picture, and it says, "Oh, that's horrible that happened to Paige, like that all that stuff would leak out. Evil me. I hope Becky Lynch has a weak password."
Oh my God.
Oh God. I honestly don't think there would be anything of Becky Lynch. I mean, then again,
I don't understand what's so wrong with saying you're attracted to, but yeah, yes, but, they're talented wrestlers, but they're also really hot. Yeah. Like there's nothing wrong saying that.
But like with the whole like Becky Lynch thing, me doubting that there's anything out there of her, I wouldn't have thought stuff with Paige would have leaked out either. So Lord knows.
All right. But, let's really move on now. Let's really move on.
Yes.
So this is the second SmackDown in a row that Mauro Ranallo was not on the show.
And
last week, the New York area had a really massive snowstorm that caused a lot of delays, a lot of flight cancellations, a lot of traffic. Yep. And Mauro was nowhere to be found on last week's SmackDown. He gone Twitter silent just before that. And JBL, Josh Matthews, and even Taz all got on Twitter and scrutinized Mauro for not appearing on SmackDown, saying, "You know what? If you're in the broadcast industry and you're on a show like SmackDown and it's live, you need to be there regardless." And while I do agree with that, because I'm sure Mauro is being paid a handsome salary by WWE to call SmackDown and SmackDown pay-per-views, because as he deserved it, as he's one of the, in my opinion, the best play-by-play commentator of this generation. Mauro was not there on SmackDown twice in a row now.
I mean,
and this is unheard of for WWE. And SmackDown opened with them saying, "Mauro is not here. He's out sick." Now, is that a verbal smackage from Vince McMahon to just rub it in because Vince is bitter? Or is it something else? Is that them just lying for something else?
I mean, it's been noted that he actually is bipolar and has depression issues. So, I mean, this could be them covering for a relapse of that. I know when someone goes through depression and has like issues with that, sometimes they can be so bad that they cannot get out of bed physically. And it's a wave they've just got to ride out. And WWE obviously can't just fire someone for that.
No. And if they would only make it worse if they acknowledged it.
Yeah. So, like, he'll be out sick for however long it takes. And then when he comes back, hopefully in time for WrestleMania.
I hope so. Because the SmackDown matches needs Mauro calling WrestleMania.
The match aspect of SmackDown hasn't been as good without Mauro Ranallo adding that air of excitement. Like, he's literally this generation's Jim Ross. So whatever it takes to get him back and ready to delivering the great commentary he does, however much time he needs, WWE needs to give him that time, because I'd rather not have Mauro there for a few weeks while he's getting better than them firing him and being stuck with a commentary booth of Tom Phillips, JBL, and stupid David Otunga.
This really is Donald Trump's America. We don't have Mauro Ranallo, but we still have David Otunga.
Yeah, see?
Thanks, Trump.
Yeah, thanks, Trump, making Colin Kaepernick the good guy when it comes to Meals on Wheels.
amazing that Donald Trump would make someone like Colin Kaepernick the good guy.
No, you know, like, he took credit for Kaepernick not being signed. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure bad football ability.
I mean, it's no wonder why he loves pro wrestling so much, President Trump, because he's such a natural heel. He's such a natural heel about this.
The difference is, though, he doesn't know he's being a heel. He's
just he also can't sell a stunner worth a shit, but...
Oh, no, he can't. He bumps worse than Bret Hart.
Yes. Bret Hart takes concussions better than Donald Trump takes stunners.
Well, I learned my bump-taking skills from Bret Hart. He's the best bumps ever. He bumps like a leaf blowing in the wind.
Stone Cold, no charisma, boring.
Umaga, too many tattoos, sad.
All right, so
Woke Hogan, Woke Hogan would not be a fan of Donald Trump.
No, Woke Hogan would not be a fan of Donald Trump. Woke Hogan would call him a racist patriarch.
Yeah. Which, by the way, next week we will have Woke Hogan.
Yeah, we got to put a little presentation together because if WWE is going to bring Hulk Hogan back, he needs to be a little more woke. So we need to think of more how to be more Hulk Hogan needs to be more woke. So if you got suggestions, tweet us at Cap Crusher Pod on Twitter.
And speaking of depression, and speaking of Woke Hogan, if a certain king wants to not be depressed and wants to make a Woke Hogan logo,
yeah, that'd be good.
Which would be like Hulk Hogan with like a Kaepernick afro or something.
Yes, it should, absolutely.
Like if you're feeling like depressed,
that's both racist and somehow not racist.
Like if you're feeling depressed and you want something to lighten your mood, you can definitely make that and brighten your day a little bit, because I picture him being giddy making that.
Okay, so let's get back to Mauro Ranallo for a second, because
So
look, Mauro Ranallo loves to retweet positive support of his play-by-play calling, as he should. He's the best in the business today.
He is one of the best. I mean, hey, I've been
of all time.
I've gotten the retweet.
So have I. I mean, it's very easy to get praise from Mauro Ranallo if you just praise his commentary.
I will point out the best Corey Graves line about TJ Perkins. That TJ Perkins retweets compliments more than Mauro Ranallo.
That's good. let me ask you this, Mike. Has Mauro's frequent retweeting support of his play-by-play calling caused him heat between him, WWE, and JBL? I mean, because I can see where someone like JBL, who really is the working man and goes out and busts his ass to do a good job, and here comes Mauro Ranallo, and he's getting praise from everybody, and him getting a little bitter about it. Well, I mean, he did delete his tweet that's criticizing Mauro being absent from SmackDown.
Yeah, probably because Mauro is going through a bout of depression, and JBL probably feels like a dick now. But then again, JBL never... all right, here's my issue with JBL. But when JBL's on as a heel commentator, he's on. The problem is, he's not. He just makes references that go over people's head way more than references I make. And this is me saying that. Someone who, KP Burke, regular guest of the show, will once every while make a post.
Two times.
But, JBL makes references that make my references seem on point and topical.
Right.
Currently. So, like, come on, JBL. What wrestling fan watching now knows about the second baseman of the 1956 Cubs? Jesus Christ. At least my obscure references are at least, like, from within the last 15 years.
That's true.
So, like, JBL has not mastered commentary. Like, he has not.
He's gotten better, but he's definitely not a master at it.
Like, he, and you know what? Like, he's... You know who makes him look like shit more than... Like, Ranallo doesn't make him look like shit because Ranallo's a different role in the commentary booth. But you listen to JBL on SmackDown, and then you listen to Corey Graves on Raw. Corey Graves is what a heel commentator should be. He is like early Jerry the King Lawler on commentary. And the thing is, JBL shouldn't be mad at Mauro Ranallo for being good at his job if JBL is not taking what Mauro's saying and doing a better job with it.
That is true.
So, but the problem is, JBL is not the kind of guy who's going to take that criticism and listen to it. he's got a reputation for being a dick and a bully backstage. So, like, I mean, JBL deleting that tweet, he was probably told to delete that tweet. If we're being perfectly honest. Like, he was told to delete it, and he deleted it because he may be a dick, but he'll listen to the person signing the checks. So, like, I think he deleted it because he was told to.
Our next story that we need to discuss. Look, Mike, WrestleMania might be less than 2 weeks away, but the biggest story in the world of wrestling, it may be only a rumor, but it involves Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Hear this, guys. Let me propose something to you. The rumor is that WWE is in talks to buy Ring of Honor Wrestling so that the Ring of Honor library would be a part of the WWE Network streaming service.
Oh, God.
And not to mention, all of the Ring of Honor roster would now be under contract with WWE.
So, just so you guys know, names that includes, that would include Adam Cole, who's been rumored to be signing there. That would include Chris Sabin, Christopher Daniels, who finally gets that
Colt
shot.
Colt Cabana.
Well, okay.
Jay Lethal.
The name that I honestly think might translate the best to WWE, Dalton Castle.
The Briscoes.
Okay, Jay Lethal.
I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Briscoes. I mean, imagine the Briscoes in WWE.
Oh, God.
They could do in NXT. Imagine what they could do when they get called to the roster and then go against American Alpha. Or even the Busos.
Or here's another one, too, if you want to look at tag teams. Daniel, like, if they brought Daniels and Kazarian back together, which they probably would do because Daniels and Kazarian, Kazarian wouldn't be part of Bullet Club anymore because he'd be on WWE.
Kenny King is another one that's very, a very talented performer out there. There is a lot of Ring of Honor talent out there. Will Ospreay is another one. He was in my match of the year last year.
Also, think about this. If they sign Kyle O'Reilly and then buy a Ring of, which is rumored to be happening in April.
They need to take care of the first order first.
Like, well, no, if they sign Kyle O'Reilly and then all of a sudden buy a Ring of Honor and have that roster.
Oh, you said Kyle O'Reilly. I thought you said Kylo Ren. Yeah.
No, Kyle O'Reilly. And then they
my mistake.
And then they buy a Ring of Honor. They can shift Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and now you've got Red Dragon in the WWE tag team division. Like, there's a lot you can do there. And guys who might be underperforming in NXT, who like indie guys, instead of firing them, now there's another place to shift them to let them play to their own strengths. What they should do with Ring of Honor, if this happens, is be a hands-off owner. They need to do for Ring of Honor what Disney does with Marvel.
Yes. Thank you. That is a perfect comparison. Yeah.
Let them do what they do best. Because you know what? If Ring of Honor is getting funded by WWE, that takes care of a lot of issues the company probably has financially. Like, they can still, like,
give them top of the line tools to succeed.
Yep.
Give them the NXT treatment.
Yeah. Like,
top of the line production value.
Keep it separate.
Small, intimate environments, and just let them do their thing.
You know what?
And they will print you money.
You know what? Give them Thursdays as a fuck you to TNA.
Oh my God, the final nail in the coffin for TNA.
Like, you know what? I think what WWE wants to do is have a weekly wrestling show every day of the week. So you got Raw and SmackDown. Well, I mean, not Sundays, but so you've got Raw and SmackDown Monday and Tuesday. You got NXT Wednesdays, also 205 Live Tuesdays. But they should probably just stop taping that right after SmackDown and just
Mention all their original content that they released too.
Now imagine they add Ring of Honor on Thursdays. And then let's say Friday is when they would start showing their UK, like, UK federation they're going to do. Because now they have a United Kingdom champion. That's 5 days a week already of WWE-related, like, just new wrestling-based shows they can do.
You wouldn't need to watch anyone else.
No, like, you wouldn't.
I mean, WWE would have the viewership monopoly on the world of pro wrestling if they acquire Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's multiple indie promotions, Ring of Honor is the major leagues of the independent circuit.
You know who would probably be elevated if this
man. You know what, Mike? You bring up a lot of positives that can come from this.
Oh, one other thing too. That's not even including the fact that they have a partnership with Evolve.
That's true too.
So
how do we think the Cruiserweight Classic got?
Yep, that's pretty much all talent, mostly talent from Evolve. So they've got that. I honestly see mostly positives because also the company that probably benefits the most if WWE does this outside of like WWE's effect on Ring of Honor, the two that have the biggest impact now that have the biggest growth in the U.S. are PWG, who I honestly sometimes have some of the best cards in wrestling. They're smaller, but I think this leads to PWG becoming a higher profile indie because some of the guys who aren't signed with WWE will start going there. And also New Japan. If the Ring of Honor purchase happens, New Japan becomes the top dog in the U.S. of non-WWE federations.
And that's really good for New Japan.
Yep. And that's,
Already a competitive, they're already a competitive promotion versus WWE. As far as like their cards and the way that their matches go, they're already on par with the best in the world.
Yeah.
Some would even argue as they are the best in the world.
Oh, the one person who wouldn't benefit from this, though, would be CM Punk, because I have a feeling he's returning to wrestling in a few years. Like, the stuff he's been
tweeting out. He's going to get one more MMA fight, and he's going to get his ass kicked again.
Then
he's going to be humble and be like, you know what? I had a really good gig in pro wrestling. Yeah, I didn't get along with everybody, and I wasn't the most well-loved guy, but I had a damn good gig.
It might mean him going to PWG or New Japan. Where I think he would kill it in New Japan, actually. I think he would welcome him with open arms. And he would still be a high-profile star. But I don't think he might eventually return to WWE. But I think his return to pro wrestling would not be to WWE.
Look, if WWE can mend fences with Bruno Sammartino and the Ultimate Warrior, they can mend fences with CM Punk. And nothing's going to happen yet because they kind of are being sued by him.
The problem is...
Oh, no. They're suing him.
No, the doctor is suing Punk.
But still, connected. WWE doctor is suing him. But again, listed.
Okay, let's be honest. So if he went back to WWE, he'd probably feel like an asshole for unfriending Colt Cabana for going to a Raw episode. But I honestly think if he did decide to go back to WWE, one of the conditions would be him retracting the statements and the lawsuit
being thrown out. Now, yeah. Mike, you brought up some very good points, some very strong positive arguing points.
Okay.
And because I'm a negative Nancy.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to list the negative things that could come from this.
I will have rebuttals for that, by the way.
That is fine. I will list just a few prime examples. Look at how WWE used WCW and ECW when Vince bought them. Look at how every legendary WCW and ECW star was treated. Look at how none of them were ever the top guy. That some of them have had world titles, some of them have gone on to have a great career in WWE, but they were never, ever the John Cena or Triple H level top guy. AJ Styles is the only one that has ever come even remotely close to being a top guy. And the most recent example, Sting. We were begging Sting to finally join WWE. He has said for years how he would be mistreated, misused, and basically just made to look like a joke if he ever went to WWE. Well, guess what? He finally did go to WWE. And guess what again, Mike? He was misused. And guess what again? He was made a mockery out of. He went on into that one WrestleMania Triple H. Granted, Sting has come out and has said that he doesn't care about the results of the match. He just wants to wrestle one WrestleMania to just say he performed at WrestleMania. That was his last real career goal. He accomplished it. So he probably didn't care that he was losing that he lost Triple H at night.
Oh,
but look at what that match was. Triple H not only went over on Sting, but we had DX and the NWO come out and the Monday Night Wars were brought back to reference just because, oh, hey, guess what? WWE won. Get it? WCW, you're always going to be number two. WWE has a very bad habit of using non-WWE grown talent in the main event picture.
Okay.
And I'm worried that if they do incorporate Ring of Honor and some of these guys come up to the main roster, they're going to be misused. And I think the best way for them to handle Ring of Honor, if they do buy it, is what you just said a few minutes ago, Mike. If they buy the promotion and Ring of Honor is allowed to operate the same way they're doing, they just have to put the WWE logo on the bottom of their website.
Yep.
They operate the same way Disney owns Marvel. Mike, that is the perfect analogy. If WWE lets Ring of Honor operate like Disney lets Marvel operate, I'm perfectly happy with it.
Okay. I've got my rebuttals now.
I'm sure you
do. First point. The misusing the roster. I'm going to say some names. All right? And they're all going to have a common theme. So just bear with me here. Samoa Joe. Daniel Bryan. Seth Rollins. CM Punk. What did AJ Styles?
I have rebuttals for all of these too, by the way.
What do they all have in common?
They all came from Ring of Honor.
They all have held titles in Ring of Honor. Punk, say what you want about how he left. He was he was in that top guy level for a while.
Yes, only after he went off script when WWE gave him permission to go off script and drop the pipe bomb. You notice, because people were paying attention to WWE after the pipe bomb. Pre-pipe bomb, he was, to bring that back, that very popular line that Stephanie says, he was a B-plus player. Daniel Bryan.
Well, I mean,
granted, Daniel Bryan was and still probably is the most talented wrestler in the company, aside from not named AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan got the main event glory because the fans turned on the product.
But, all right, here's my theory.
If it wasn't for the fans, Daniel Bryan would not have won the main event at WrestleMania 30.
Oh, by the way, another name.
And Samoa Joe just got called to the main roster, so we can't really have a fair judgment
of him
yet. But
they're still taking him very seriously. Also, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens doesn't even look like the kind of guy Vince would push. And yes, he lost recently to Goldberg, which I think everyone expected anyway. But he had a lengthy run with Raw's top title. And is going to have a high profile, and will probably still be a main event heel after WrestleMania is said and done.
I'm not saying that the tides have turned and it's more positive for non-WWE grown talent to thrive in WWE.
Oh, also Seth Rollins.
I'm just saying, look at history. And I'm nervous.
But here's the thing.
I'm very nervous, let's just say that.
Here's the thing, though. WWE treats Ring of, like, even, like, years ago, WWE made articles about how, like, a lot of, like, Ring of Honor has formed, like, the foundation for the new era. Like, I just mentioned main event guys. I didn't even get into the guys like Cesaro, who, while we'll argue these misused, is still considered a trustworthy guy in the mid-card. When it comes to putting on a great match, like if they need to put someone over in a great match, like a great competitive stiff match, they'll bring out Cesaro. Cesaro has kind of worked his way right now into the William Regal role in WWE. So there's a certain amount of respect. Vince just won't, for whatever reason, give him that
because he's on Raw. That's why he's on Raw.
Sami Zayn. I honestly think I'm not going to listen to the rumors about their view of Sami Zayn. Because they're putting him in, like, a pretty good position storyline-wise.
And look, they even got Chris Hero back in NXT.
Yep, Chris Hero is back. And again, there's rumors of them, like, doing a raid of Ring of Honor talent. I know Adam Cole's on their radar, and his contract's up soon.
God, what I would love to see, right? Adam Cole versus Nakamura. Oh, my God.
I know, like, Kyle
Even just bring him to 205 Live.
Yeah.
And compete against Neville.
Adam Cole, baby. Oh, God. Could you imagine? Well, I mean, we'll talk about Neville in a few, but like, the reason why the Ring of Honor guys got a lot more respect than the, like, WCW guys Ring of Honor was never actual competition for WWE. They never tried to compete with WWE.
No.
They tried to be their own thing. They knew, unlike Paul Heyman with ECW,
unlike Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, they knew their limitations. They didn't try to overspend to compete with WWE. They started signing guys to contracts to try to prevent them from signing with WWE, but they didn't try to outspend Vince McMahon. Or they didn't try to spend so much that it blew their budget up to where wrestler checks were bouncing, and thus they were leaving their contracts early, like it happened with ECW. So, like, Ring of Honor has been playing it the right way, but again, they never tried to compete with WWE at all. So there's that counterpoint.
That may be a counterpoint, but that doesn't mean that my worries are.
But like I said, I think it's an unfounded worry because, like, WWE takes Ring of Honor far more seriously than they take WCW. Like, even ECW gets, like, if you notice, if you look at the specials and if you look at how they talk about ECW versus WCW, they talk about ECW a lot more glowingly than WCW.
Because ECW is still cheered by the people in the audience.
Yeah. Well, they had a working relationship with ECW.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I think they had a handshake agreement with Ring of Honor for a few years now, hence why Punk was allowed to mention Ring of Honor during the pipe bomb, hence why they made an article about how Ring of Honor has produced a lot of main WWE stars lately. I honestly just think that is a company that they're willing to work with, that they work with or have worked with in the past, that they're going to wind up being very respectful to if they buy them. Now,
I hope.
Now, on your point about Sting, Sting signed with the company at 52 years old.
Yes.
He probably knew that the matches he was going to be in, the big matches he was going to be in, were going to be losses.
I'm sure of that.
Did we really expect that Sting was going to beat the guy who's married to the boss's daughter?
But did we also expect DX and the NWO to have a Monday Night Wars reunion in the match?
Well, okay. I mean, we didn't expect that exact scenario to play out. Like, it didn't make sense from a storyline perspective because Sting was a main enemy of the NWO for a long time. But they did that because you had a 52-year-old Sting versus getting close to his 50s and very much part-time Triple H. So you needed that for that match.
I don't think so. I think, like, the whole fact that, oh my God, Sting is in a WWE ring. Sting's wrestling at WrestleMania. That alone was trumps anything.
And that was a big moment. And you know what? If you listen to us talking about WrestleMania that year, you were okay with that happening.
I was okay with it happening.
So, and Sting didn't look any weaker. Actually, as a matter of fact, Sting looked pretty strong in that match because of all he took and still kept kicking out before Triple H finally put him out. Like, it took multiple sledgehammer shots, a super kick, and a pedigree for Sting to be pinned. So they were actually a lot better to Sting than they were to Booker T when Booker T was first in WWE after the sale. They're a lot better to Sting than you actually think they were. And they gave him a world title match against Seth Rollins,
which ended up being his last match.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should have never let...
As Bret Hart would say, dangerous worker, Seth Rollins.
No, you know what that is? A 52-year-old person should not be doing that spot.
Okay,
like,
fair enough.
Sting should have been like, you know what, maybe that's a little risky for my neck. Let's do something else.
All right, well, speaking of that, you just said the magic words. Let's do something else. Let's talk about something else involving Ring of Honor, and that is the Hardys. The Hardys were recently offered new WWE contracts. Now, Mike, you have been very outspoken about wanting to see the Hardys back in WWE because you didn't think that they, first off, deserve it, and B, they weren't as good as people originally thought they were.
I'm very outspoken about them as far as their legacy in WWE. Would I love to see broken Matt Hardy in WWE? Fuck yes.
Absolutely.
If you listen to everything I've said about the Hardys, my main issue is Jeff Hardy. I've always thought that Matt was the one who was the better worker and better promo guy of the two. He had personality. Jeff Hardy just kind of rested on the laurels of being the Hot Topic model boy. All the wannabe goth girls were like, oh my God, Jeff Hardy, he took his shirt off. Ah, squee. So, like, my issue's not been Matt Hardy, because I know that Matt Hardy's capable of brilliance, especially as a heel. He did it as Matt Hardy version one. He's doing it as broken Matt Hardy.
The Hardys were offered new WWE deals. If they do come back, I think we answered this question already. How do we want them used? I think the only way to bring the Hardys back is if they are the broken Hardys. That's the only way that you could bring them back.
Supposedly they won't be until the lawsuit with Impact or with TNA is actually cleared up.
I'm so glad you mentioned it, because Matt Hardy actually responded to that.
Okay.
Matt Hardy responded. He has several tweets up labeled, and he names it the condescending and disingenuous tweets posted by at Ed Nordholm when my TNA contract was up. And basically the heads of Anthem, he puts the head of the TNA parent company on blast on Twitter. He's responded to him. The tweets were, we thank Matt Hardy brand for a superb performance in Broken Universe. May the seven deities guide him with their broken brilliance. Broken Universe will always be here. Kudos to the creative team behind the vision. And he tweets people that he alleges were the creation of the broken gimmicks, where Matt has clearly said that it is all him. So this is not going anywhere. And Rebby Hardy also went on yet another Twitter rant.
Oh, God, her.
And she's selling a shirt now that says, fuck that owl.
Her Twitter tirades are reaching Jim Cornette level.
Yeah. Like, and the fact that Jim Cornette's going to be inducting the Rock and Roll Express at the Hall of Fame, which, by the way, is amazing. We're going to get Jim Cornette with a live microphone WWE event.
Can we have Kevin Dunn bring him out? I want Kevin Dunn to be out there when this happens. I want them to just let Jim Cornette say whatever's on his mind. Don't you? But you know, someone from WWE is on that dump button.
Oh yeah,
they're so on. They'll be ready for what Jim Cornette. Then again, Carlito got his little jab in, like, oh God, and if Shawn Michaels isn't anywhere near there. Like, Mark Madden won't be, because WWE won't fuck with Mark Madden. But, oh God, like, I wish I were a fly on the wall for Jim Cornette backstage. Like, I could picture Kevin Dunn going, I thought I'm a Bucky Beaver, what?
So, let's end the show talking about the couple of amazing things that we've seen from the Raw and SmackDown this week. Let's start off by first praising... Let's just call it what it is, Mike. Praising Owens and Jericho, because they are putting on the absolute best display on why professional wrestling is loved by so many. They are single-handedly the reason why people are watching Raw.
Kevin Owens got booed in Brooklyn.
So
where he's
to reference Mike's point, here's a little bit of what Jericho did to get Owens booed by a very heel favorite New York crowd. Here's the beginning of the promo, which to me was brilliant.
Is the real Kevin Owens.
He shows a photo of a 16-year-old Kevin Owens in the basement doing Y2J's pose.
By the way,
in front of a Y2J photo.
Yeah. By the way, that Pam Anderson poster really dates that picture.
Yes. So does that computer in the bottom right, in the bottom left. Look at that. Look at that. That's got to be an old-ass gateway computer that with internet Netscape on it. Remember Netscape?
Yep.
This is not a trick or a doctored photo. This is the real Kevin Owens at 16 years old in his parents' basement. But he doesn't look like a prize fighter to me. He looks like a fan of Jericho. He was marking out, man.
Oh God! Oh, he's so
is
great.
Jericho not the greatest thing in the world
I
right
said,
now?
Jericho and Owens are two guys who get who can get are capable of getting the crowds doing whatever they want them to do.
He even showed DMs between him and Owens, which I believe are completely legit.
Yeah, and I honestly think Owens like, yeah, man, no, what, like, let's definitely do this. Like, no, put
remember,
these out there.
Remember when he was feuding with Cena?
Yep.
And he said, like, a story about how his kid was cheering for Cena, and Cena didn't give his kid a high five.
Yeah.
Like, remember that he was going to say, that, yeah, let's use this in the story. I give Owens credit, all the credit in the world for letting Jericho use these tweets and that photo to further the storyline.
Which, sidebar, my favorite Owens-Cena story was him talking about how, like, his son had that little, like, pillow buddy of Cena that made noise when you hit it. And he just found it in his bedroom and started punching it, and it was making noise. His son asked what he was doing, and he replied with practicing.
So Jericho is about to add Owens to the list, which the crowd screamed for him to be added to the list.
And then
Samoa Joe comes out to distract him, and Owens comes and jumps Jericho. But then Owens does, by the way, his KO Mania 2 on top of the WrestleMania 2 shirt is amazing. So he beats up Jericho, beats him up a little bit more, and then he does something that I never thought I would see.
He
goes from being cheered, because let's be honest, Jericho and Owens, whether they are face or heel, were heavily loved by the fans.
Especially in the Northeast.
Let me remind you that the crowd was cheering Owens the whole time. Yeah. Basically, they were cheering the whole confrontation. Now, this is a Brooklyn, New York crowd, and we all know
they like
New York, New Jersey, Chicago, and Philly. Those are the most hostile crowds you will ever encounter,
also,
and they will always cheer for heels.
Also, New York is a big Ring of Honor section.
Yeah,
and a big so like
so. Let's say they were big Kevin Owens fans.
Some of his best indie matches were in New York City. So
Owens does the unthinkable. He tears the list of Jericho, and he gets booed. Listen to this crowd. That's amazing. And then he just Jericho's pose. Man, if that is not how textbook a heel is supposed to be, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
There are very few people who can do that.
Also,
and you know what? The credit has to be given to Jericho, because Chris Jericho in 2017 is an enigma. Because whether he is playing the same exact character, the whole, you stupid idiot, you're going to get it.
They
insert thing here of Jericho, blah, 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 man. Everything Jericho's doing, he was doing the same as a heel.
And
he is now a face, and he is over no matter what side he is. This is the first time I think I have seen a wrestler be both a face and a heel, loved by the fans regardless, and doing the same character and the same bits. I don't think I've ever seen something like this before, and this only can be said for the man who's doing it, and that's Chris Jericho, because I don't think there's anyone else who can pull this off what Jericho is doing. In terms of reading what the crowd likes and how to get over with people, he is a genius.
He's gotten to the Rock territory where he can just make the crowd feel whatever he wants them to feel.
Very few men have that gift. The Rock did it, and Jericho does it.
Another segment I do want to point out, like as far as like either a really good or not so good segment, was the Foley, Stephanie, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe.
Mick Foley fired as Raw GM.
Yep. The only thing I didn't like about it was Stephanie's usual ball cutting.
I liked at the end where he was leaving, and Triple H just goes, "Have a nice day,"
but like. And WWE doesn't get this. Stephanie's not as good in her role because as a heel, she never gets her comeuppance. At least Vince. Vince has done some vile shit to wrestlers in storyline. You know what usually happens, though? The face gets their revenge on Vince.
Right.
But this it never happens with Stephanie. Like, she always just puts herself over, belittles the roster, and never gets her, never looks like shit.
She did look good, though.
Like, so, but I like Sami Zayn's promo. The match between Owens and Zayn, I'm sorry, Zayn and Samoa Joe was the best match of Raw by far.
Oh, yeah, best match of Raw by far.
But Stephanie needs to stop. Like, if she's going to really cut the balls off, she needs to look like shit once every while.
That is true.
Otherwise, she's just saying, you guys are inferior, and what happens? So, but Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe are doing some great stuff, and I hope they get a WrestleMania match against each other.
So let's quickly transition to how Raw closed, because once again we saw an Undertaker appearance, and we saw the continuation of the Roman Reigns Undertaker story. So every time WrestleMania season comes along tonight, and we see an Undertaker appearance, we know Taker's gonna wrestle. I see on wrestling Twitter, Undertaker's irrelevant. Undertaker should just retire. No one gives a shit about him anymore. He's too old. Let Brooklyn say otherwise. I'm sorry, are those cheers? I can't hear.
Let's point out, though, that Brooklyn also chanted CM Punk during the Sami Zayn segment, and at one point chanted, "We are awesome."
They are awesome. I'm sorry,
staring through Reigns!
Maybe my headphones are broken, because I could have swore I hear a loud, massive pop for The Undertaker. At 51 years old, The Undertaker is one of the most heavily cheered people in WWE.
It's The Undertaker. He's got the Chris Benoit his way into not getting that reaction.
Okay, maybe Chris Benoit... Come on, man.
That's what it will take for him to not get that. Actually, then again, no. Even if he did do that, he might still get a pop from the crowd.
So a lot of people about this segment are really freaking out over this, where Taker looks like he's either in pain or he's going, oh, shit. Oh,
boy.
I hope it's, oh, I'm going to get speared. But then again, that'd be uncharacteristic of Taker. Something tells me something, like, he sprained a hip or something. Taker's old. I'm not going to deny, and I'm not going to deny that The Undertaker's old.
Or, well, because he also
and
is.
Father Time has really kicked the shit out of him in recent years.
Yeah, he also is due for hip replacement as well. Like, that's part, let's be honest, it's part of the reason why Foley was fired as GM.
Hey, so he has hip replacement. And look, every year WrestleMania comes around, we're like, is this Undertaker's last match? Is this the last time we see him? I thought WrestleMania 30 was going to be the last time we see him. WrestleMania 31, I thought it was going to be a swan song where he puts over Bray Wyatt. WrestleMania 32, last year, he left his gloves in the ring, which is a metaphor, which is how fighters and a lot of wrestlers like say, okay, that's my way of saying I'm done.
Yep,
and
I'm
he's
done
been reported as saying he was done.
But
there he is in the Royal Rumble. Now he's back at WrestleMania.
I mean, this has to be his last WrestleMania.
You say that now, Mike. You say that now.
Okay, I think Vince feels that this will be. That's why he's rushing the Reigns Undertaker match.
Oh, God. I don't want this. I do not want Reigns under... I don't want this match if it's going the way I know it's going to go. But let's finish the clip here. So Taker chokeslams Braun Strowman because reasons. Taker looks like, I look like I'm in pain. But if he was in pain, that facial expression would have been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Something tells you that was a, oh, shit. I'm going to get speared. And Reigns spears him, and Vince, I don't know if you're listening to this, buddy. I know you just crashed your Bentley, but and you're in dire need of fixing your $90,000 car. But listen to these boos that your guy is getting. I don't think those are cheers. I think The Undertaker is the one that's getting cheered, and Reigns is the one getting booed. So how can WWE make Roman Reigns a face coming out of WrestleMania 33? He can't. What's he going to do? Pin the Undertaker and Taker's going to raise his hand?
Oh,
that'll
God.
Just be... You want to get nuclear heat on Roman Reigns.
I kind of can't wait to see how you react if that happens.
I'm very excited I'm to see
if
this.
That happens, I'm pretty sure Hammond would say, fuck this show, and go to the bathroom for 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be working with Busted Open on the WrestleMania post coverage, but yeah, the next episode I'm going to go nuclear if that's what happens.
Oh, so you're not even hosting WrestleMania?
No, I'm not. By the way, I don't know why I'm saying this on air, but yeah, work is scheduling me to work the pre and post show for Busted Open. But yeah.
Oh snap!
Yeah, fourth wall here, guys. But look, if that's what's going to happen, if worst case scenario for me, Reigns pins Taker clean. Taker then raises Roman Reigns' hand, saying, "Okay, you're the dog now. You're the big dog.
You're a big dog."
You will hear the loudest "Oh God" from me. You'll be able to hear me from New York City.
No, it'll be from everyone who's watching at that point. Like, nobody wants to see that happen.
The stars will collide, and a rain of boos will come down.
Oh, so it'll sound like every time Roman Reigns hits the ring.
Yes, exactly. Let's finish up on SmackDown because it's quite late.
Yeah, it's pretty late. Maryse and The Miz, their total Bella segment.
Yeah, the Miz and Maryse are really taking it to the whole marriage angle.
We'll let the audio speak for itself.
By the way, the title card for the parody was "Total Bella's Bullshit," which was fantastic.
You know what? What? Perfect. You know what? What? Remote. You know what?
What?
I think my boyfriend John Cena, who I definitely love and not using to advance my career, is going to propose to me.
Perfect.
Brie, that's my catchphrase.
I'm not Brie. I thought I was Nikki.
Oh, I'm Nikki, see? I'm the one wearing the hat.
So out comes The Miz, dressed exactly like John Cena.
The mannerisms are fantastic.
Here we go. Brie, were you singing? Rule number 35 of John Cena's house rules clearly states no singing. Brie, you're on double secret probation. Bad Brie. Very bad Brie.
John, are you
hit that crowd cut.
Something?
Why, yes, Nikki. Woman, I genuinely and sincerely love. I have a proposal for you.
The marriage music.
You stop breaking rule number 11 of John Cena's house rules and take your feet off the furniture. Bad Nikki. That's strike one. Very bad Nikki. Good Nikki. Very good Nikki.
Me pets are like a dog.
And as a reward, I'm going to pop the question.
And it's a literal balloon with the word question on it. Bravo. I mean,
this
has been
fantastic.
As if SmackDown couldn't get any better. What The Miz and Maryse have done, they have made a throwaway, dumb intergender tag match into must-watch TV. Out of all the things that WrestleMania's do is giving us, because they're giving us 10-plus matches, Mike, this is a match, as far as build-up-wise, I'm looking forward to more than anything.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm starting to think that Cena's going to use that to match to propose.
What other better way to do it? We all know Miz and Maryse are going to job here.
Yeah,
we all know that the end result of this, but what a WrestleMania moment that will be if John Cena, we all know that the documented history of him being very paranoid about marriage again because his ex-wife took him to the fucking bank. And the whole rules of living in a house with him, he did make Nikki Bella sign a contract.
Yep.
That is documented. That is fact. What if after all this, he proposes to Nikki Bella in the ring and then have Brie and Daniel Bryan come out and celebrate in the ring with them. What a WrestleMania moment that will be.
So I've been roped into watching a few episodes of that shit show, reality show. At one point he did ask her about it, how she would feel about marriage but no kids. To which she was for it, so I'm thinking that's them starting the hint drop of, yeah, he's going to propose at some point to her.
I mean, what better way to do it than at WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, where it's rumored.
The whole crowd's going to go, yes, yes, yes.
Where it's going to be, it's rumored that this might be her last match. And honestly, like, the way they're doing the wedding proposal jokes in this skit, they're going very heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the last couple of feuds that Nikki's had, the main point is them saying, oh, no wonder why John Cena won't propose to you. There's a probably a proposal that's going to be a WrestleMania moment that, like, WWE's going to try almost like, oh, well, he wants to propose, do it here. That way, like, they're, like, going to try to make it the new Macho Man Elizabeth.
They're going to try to, at least. Final thing, and then I am done talking about the pro wrestling for this episode, Mike.
Well, no, there's one other thing, too, before we get to this. How great was Fandango and Tyler Breeze on Tuesday?
Real quick, yes, that was one of the most fun things I've ever seen. Fandango.
And I'm going to show you how bad of a wrestler you are.
Ticket. Imagine Broken Hardy being given tickets and him going, delete, ticket, delete, ticket, delete.
And you're wearing those jorts. Give him a ticket.
One last thing. And then we will call it a day here. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton have shown us that you can take a bizarre gimmick, bizarre sketches, and do real theatrics and still build an incredible WrestleMania match around this.
Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton's whole storyline has been going on
since SummerSlam.
Yeah, since SummerSlam season. That's how long this storyline's been going, which is a throwback in terms of story structure. This is how WWE used to flesh out stories. It used to be a half a year build. And they did it perfectly. They had the initial arc where they were feuding. Then they added some time where they were teamed together. And then eventually Randy Orton turned on Bray Wyatt and everything was escalated.
Like, and even though I'm 99% sure that Randy Orton is walking out of WrestleMania champion, the program between these two has simply been perfect. And one that SmackDown writers
It's been perfect.
Yes, it has. And SmackDown writers need to be given a lot of credit for this shit.
Oh, yeah. This has been the best long-term program WWE's done in a long time.
Maybe Owens and Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Owens and Jericho and Orton and Wyatt.
The two programs that should be the blueprint for the future of a long-term storyline. Maybe Cesaro Sheamus eventually, because I'm sure what's going to happen is that Sheamus at some point will turn on Cesaro and align himself with Stephanie.
I hope. And the other SmackDown main event, Mike, Shane McMahon and AJ Styles. We got to briefly talk about this before we call it a night here, but
I mean, honestly,
I'll just say this. I may be in the minority here, but I am interested now in Styles versus McMahon.
Let's be honest. They're both going to make each other look a lot better than people are expecting this match to be.
Yes.
Shane McMahon can take a bump like nobody's business, and AJ Styles is very good at taking bumps as well without flopping too much and getting himself hurt like a Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, just to close out SmackDown, Shane, in dad jeans and all, put AJ Styles on a table and jumped from the corner onto the table through Styles.
Which, by the way, AJ Styles also dad jeans and all.
Shane McMahon is 47 years old, and he is jumping through tables from the top rope to the outside of the ring.
Also,
he does not need to be doing this.
Shane didn't even get anywhere near AJ, and AJ still sold that perfectly.
Exactly. AJ is a constant professional. But Shane McMahon is a lunatic. He is more of a lunatic than Dean Ambrose at this point.
What do you mean? I make a breakfast hole sandwich. I'm a lunatic, fringe.
I tear the tags off of mattresses. I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, when it says don't walk, I walk. I'm the real lunatic, fringe.
I change lanes without putting on a turn signal.
You know what else I do? I get stuff at a diner and then walk out before the check comes in.
Whoa.
Hashtag real lunatic fringe.
That's almost as bad as sneaking your own snacks into a movie theater. That's crazy, Dean Ambrose.
I put Raisinets in my pocket and then walk into the movie theater. Hashtag real lunatic fringe.
I set off fart bombs in middle school. Whoa.
I left the toilet seat up one time. Hashtag real lunatic fringe.
Bro, one time, I took a dump in someone else's toilet.
Dude, one time, Renee told me to do the sheets and I didn't do them.
One time, I forgot to take out the recycling.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'm going to one-up you on that one because I'm crazier. I'm the real lunatic fringe. All right, because one time I actually did take out the recycling, but I put it in the trash.
Whoa. That's wasteful to the environment, Dean. Only a real lunatic would do that. But anyhow, so...
Well, when I go out driving and I've had some Wendy's, I may have thrown the cup outside of the window because I'm the lunatic fringe.
Whoa.
I put bubble gum on the bottom of seats.
That's crazy, man. Now, if you tell me that you parked in handicapped spaces when you don't have a handicap sticker, I don't know what I'm going to have to do with all this craziness in the studio right now.
I did you one step further, bro. I took somebody's handicap pass and clearly walked on my own power in the handicap spot.
Whoa. Wow. Real lunatic.
Actually, that does sound too lunatic for this bit.
But come on, Shane McMahon should not be jumping through tables at 47 years old.
No.
He shouldn't be doing this. But
I didn't realize he was that young.
But because Styles shoved him through a car window, McMahon was busted open. There's an old saying that I heard from one Bully Ray. Red equals green. Blood is money. That feud just got kicked up to the next level because AJ busted open Shane McMahon. It makes me want to see this match now. I want to see it.
Also, like everyone who's thinking that WWE is shitting on Shane McMahon, I don't think they realize that means they trust AJ Styles to make a really great match with the owner's son.
Who, if you may remember from back in the day in his prime, was not that bad in the ring himself.
Like, his match with Kurt Angle is still considered stuff of legends.
It's one of my all-time favorite matches. For real, it really is one of my all-time favorite matches.
So here's how much of a lunatic I am. I watched pay-per-views from a black box that was connected to my cable box.
Whoa, you stole HBO and the Spice Channel, Dean? My God. My God.
In my mind, I saw the scrambled titty and just thought of it as a real titty. Hashtag real lunatic fringe.
He's so not the lunatic.
It's crazier than a hot dog cart.
All right.
Seth Rollins. Dick pic was crazier than anything I've done.
All right. We need to get out of here. It's late and we're tired. You can follow us at Calf Crusher Pod on Twitter. You can like us at facebook.com/Calf Crusher Pod. You can follow the show on SoundCloud. The audio podcast will be up very shortly. And again, we open the show with this. We want to close the show with this. Our thoughts and best wishes go to Jim Ross and his family for the loss of his wife, Jan. Hope to get an update from you soon, JR. Best wishes, buddy. This is Calf Crusher Radio. We will see you next week.